testimony I want to lead off with in there is I didn't get into it because I looked for a feeling or I looked for some kind of reward that would be awarded to me for doing this thing. It was an opportunity that was made in the church, and I'm often open up to opportunities, and then I ask the Lord if that's something that He wants me to try. I have no previous thought connotation that it's something I'm supposed to do. Children's church would be an example of that. I did children's church for 6 months, and I loved it, but they kicked me out. Because when I do children's church, we play. We have a good time, and there's absolutely no order to it whatsoever. The kids are good with that, but those who are running it, not so much. So we got 24, maybe 36 children born again and committed to the Lord, so I thought it was good, but I've made those judgments before. But in Psalm 146 and 7, it says, "Who executes justice for the oppressed? Who gives food to the hungry? The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners." We're the Lord's voice. We're the ones that are going to come tell them that they've been lied to. That the labels that society would put on them are lies from the pit of hell. That we have a God who loves them and cares for them and wants them set free. And isn't holding a grudge because of things they've done. But wants them redeemed. That Jesus came and hung on that cross so that they could be set free. Mm-hmm. See, that's what I do when I'm going to prison. I'm not going in there in my strength. I'm going in there in His strength. Amen. So when you bring this word into the prisons and you can give them the truth of who they are in Christ Jesus, that makes it all worthwhile. And to watch those men and women receive that truth and then watch them put that truth in the ground and plant that seed in their lives and get over all the lies about how it's just jailhouse religion and how you're only doing that because you're locked up. Well, that might be true. This might be the first time God slowed you down long enough that He can get into your business. You know? So many of the men and women in there, and us too, how fast were we running before God actually got us long enough to slow down? So that's the first thing. We go in there, we want to let them know that we love them. God loves them. And I can think of, I don't even know how many testimonies or cases I can think of to where God has just set them free. I can talk about the women's prison where we go in and God orchestrates it and there's hundreds that'll stand up. He always gives me parables for them. And I think the one I tell, yeah, okay, we'll go there. Lord.
Why? Because He said go there. I'm good with that.
So anyway, it's called, the sermon message was called Move That Bus. And y'all know what that refers to, right? That home building show. They hide a house with the bus. It's a house, okay? We got this right. We got this whole picture. This huge house is being hid with a bus. The truth of the matter is I could hide that same house with a van. That's what the devil does, and that's what the message was that morning, was the devil will bring this bus and park it right in front of your face and hide the truth of what God is having available for you in your life. And you got to look at that, and you got to say, devil, move that bus. And when we could talk about that, the women got a hold of that and they stood up and they said with me, we all said it together, move that bus. Move that. And they were getting the connotation of it. And that word lasted for weeks. Move that bus. Because see, that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to park his bus right in front of your eyes so that you can't see it. So being able to go into prison and I've told Pastor Clay this and others sometimes. I like the women's prison probably the best because I absolutely have to rely on the Lord because I have absolutely no idea what to do in there. If the Lord doesn't speak to me, I will stand in the front and go, yep, I love Jesus. And I won't know what else to say. He's got to tell me what to say. You kidding me? I'll go in there. And these girls look at you like, You better have something for me. Don't be coming in here wasting my time. You better be speaking from God to me. Oh, I've heard all this before. Don't you come in here be fronting on me. And they will. They'll get all, oh, they'll get attitudes flowing everywhere. The demon attitude. It's got to be a demon. It's got to be. Because the women are all possessed with it. But then when they get the truth and they can let some sunshine come in, they get set free, right? And that's one of the messages he had me tell them, too. He said, I hear some of the stories about how they're getting beat up by these different little things. And I'm like, you're telling me that you, as a woman, are letting this one little thing beat you up. I said, that's not the women I know. I said, most of the women I know just get attitude and they shut that stuff down. But you'll let the devil come into your life with one little thing and screw everything up. So why don't you take some of that attitude and turn it to the devil where it belongs? And you can get set free. And you can get set free. And then I'll tell them, I said, look, how many of you, I'm going to give an altar call. How many of you will be sitting there right now and you won't stand up? You will not stand up because you think somebody next to you is going to think something bad about you. When your very life, your very eternity is based on the fact that you stand up and confess the truth of who Jesus is in your life. Yet you won't stand up. You'll sit there because you're afraid of what somebody else might say or think about you. Y'all be crazy. So the truth is, Jesus came into this world to save you. He didn't come into the world to condemn you. He came into this world to give you a new life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For he did not come into the world to condemn it but to save it. And when you can go into a place where there's filled with prisoners and let them know that God loves them so much that he wants them to be set free. That's my testimony.
Amen.
Go where God gives you the opportunity to go. Let them have the word.
Amen. That's good.
Let them have the word.
That's good. That's good.
Just a couple things that are sparking and just to affirm you. I remember when Tim was here, Kevin, he said, you have evangelists all over you. And you're over there thinking, evangelist is all over this guy right here. I honor that. I remember a story when I was in Bible school, the president was sharing on those similar lines. He said that he was, they had a conference and they were going to have a student speak. And one of the teachers was there with two other guys. And he said, he asked the first guy first to speak, to preach during the conference. And the guy was like, I'm not going to do it. And then he asked him, and he said, you know what? I said, yes. He said, it was horrible. He said, I spoke 5 minutes on faith. He said, it's all I could get out. It was horrible. When I was done, the guy said, what are you doing? You're already done. But he said, the Lord moved powerfully in the meeting after that. And what he learned was always, if an opportunity is given to you to minister the word of God, to share and speak the word of God, by all means, don't just wait for the warm and bubbly feelings. Sometimes that's a place where you step in and watch the Lord meet you. Whether you're a bumbling fool, like he, and he's a seasoned, polished preacher now, but he said, I studied every word on faith I could find, and after 5 minutes, I was done. He said, when I was done, he said, the Lord sovereignly moved in that service and just showed him. So step out, and like Kevin said, you go in his strength, not yours, and you'll be surprised what the Lord does. Amen?
Amen.
So someone else who wants to share, it's Brad.
So anyway, I'm just going to basically, I'm pretty new in this walk still, so but it's been pretty cool. I'm just going to tell you what happened with me. I got to get away from this thing. So I was in a car accident 3.5 years ago, and basically just had some sort of reaction to medication. I was coming home from work, went down Route 2 at about 70 miles an hour. I was kind of blacking in and out. My foot was heavy on the gas, and going through red lights. It was a real busy Saturday afternoon. Last thing I saw was a tow truck stopped at a stoplight. I said, I'm going to die. Hit the back of the thing. And everything changed after that. So somehow I didn't die. I didn't have my seatbelt on. I busted the steering wheel in half. I was inside the dashboard. It took them about 45 minutes to get me out. I felt no pain until I got in the ambulance. And after that, it's just changed my entire life. It really was like God just said, stop. You know what I mean? It's time. And I just started thinking, everything changed. I couldn't sit in a conversation with people and just talk about nothing. I was like, this is not life. And I literally would get up and walk away from my family. I said, it's making me sick. I can't sit here and talk about who got buried where and all this garbage. And I said, life is, there's something else out there in this life. Something was grabbing me. And it went on for about a year and a half. And I looked for every earthly answer I could find. I was looking up things on the internet. I was reading. I was obsessed with this. And I came to the conclusion, there's nothing on earth that's going to come up with the answer. There is nothing here. And at that very second, boom, everything changed. I got taken up in this cocoon of love, forgiveness. I'm not going to cry, so stop.
It's okay.
So, and he just was there, and I was just like, wow. And I was like floating. I was sitting on the corner of my bed, and I'm floating. And I'm in another world, and everything went away. All the pain went away. I looked up, because it was in here. It was all coming in here. And I looked up at the ceiling for some stupid reason, and I said, you're real. And my tears were just flowing, and he looked at me. He said, yes, I am.
Praise God.
And I'm like, I'm crying, and I'm like, my knee was bowing. I mean, I was like, wow, everything changed. And he said, don't worry, I got this. I got it all under control. And then I'm like, I started laughing, like chuckling, not laughing. I started chuckling, and he scoffed, and he said, they think they're going to beat me? And he said, everything's going to be fine. Boom, it was over. And I was dropped on my bed, and it was just over. I'm like, my life just changed. Oh, my God. I ran downstairs. I started cleaning the house. Something you can see everything. So I'm looking out, the trees are different, everything's different, the sky's different, everything changed. The world was all new. I just started over.
Praise God.
Unbelievable, right? Didn't know who to tell. Everything started changing after that. My uncle, I couldn't forgive him. My whole life, I couldn't forgive him. He'd done things with our family, and I couldn't forgive him. I hated him. He got diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. I went down to his house, and I prayed for him. We ended up crying, sitting in the family room crying. I'm like, I did the same thing. I said, I don't know what to say to him. I'm not going to say, God, take over, because I don't know what to say. And I'm talking to him, and we walked out of there. We're crying. I pray him. I end up speaking at his funeral. Totally forgave him. I couldn't do it. God took it out of me. Yeah. He took it out of me.
That's good.
Because I couldn't do it up here.
Yeah.
So now flash forward. This is just a few of the things that have happened because it's crazy. So flash forward. I'm saying, I've talked to everybody about this, but I have not talked to my son about. I don't know why I couldn't do it. He's 25 years old. I couldn't break down that wall. I said to Jesus, Jesus, please let me talk to my son. Please, I've got to talk to my son. Talk to my daughter, talk to my wife, talk to everybody about it. Couldn't talk to him. I was afraid. Take it away from me. Next day, I wake up, I go on my bike ride. Oh, I talk to my mom. My mom and I are butting heads because she's a Catholic and she's telling me, well, this is the way religion is and blah, 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 blah. And I said, no, I'm trying to tell you, we butt heads. I go out on my bike ride. I'm in the middle of the woods, 2-3 miles out in the middle of the woods, okay? And I'm riding on my bike. I said, God, I gotta let you handle my mom because I can't handle her. This is something you've got to do in her. I can't do it. And I said, okay, so forgive me. I'm letting it go. It's up to you. Then I stopped my bike. I got off my bike, and I'm like, now put me back in that spirit that I was in this morning. Put me back. I look to my right, middle of the woods. There's a Bible sitting up against the tree.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm like, what? And I'm looking at, first thing I say, I don't mean to offend anybody. I look at it, it's the NIV. I'm like, God, I don't read the NIV. What are you doing? So I go over and I pick it up and I'm like, I'm not going to take this home because I don't read it. So I open it up. As soon as I open it up, big spider comes crawling out after me. I slam the book down and I'm like, get me out of here. So I'm like, thank God for not taking that home. So I get home. I'm fired up. I go in. I wake up my son. He's sleeping from work. And I said, Brad, Jesus loves you. He's going to do great things in your life. I swear to God, you may not know it now, but someday you're going to realize that he is amazing. He is amazing. He loves you. He has changed my life. I went through the whole thing, right? I walked out of there. I'm like, what am I doing? What did I just do? I was embarrassed. I felt like a fool. Went into the bedroom. I'm like, I just prayed to Jesus last night to take down the wall so I could talk to my son. And he did it. And then I thought to myself, what's up with the spider? God knows I'm afraid of spiders. Why did he put a spider in the Bible? And I said, God crushes all fears. Boom, I slammed the book shut on the spider. Right then, I got goosebumps. I started to cry. I felt this thing coming up, like it wanted to come out of my mouth. I didn't know what it was. I covered my mouth. I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. So it was just crazy. I started praying. That night, I wanted to come here and tell you. It was Tuesday night. It was prayer. On my way down, I got a flat tire. I got towed over to the gas station. A tow truck comes over. The guy broke the lug off in my tire, so he says, go in the truck and talk to my wife. I said, okay. So I go in the truck, I'm talking to his wife. She goes, what are you doing on a Tuesday night? I said, oh, I'm going to church. Well, who has church on a Tuesday? I said, well, here it goes. I've never said anything like this before. I said, I was in a car accident a couple years ago, and I gave my life to Jesus. I'm like, here it goes. She's going to mock me, right? So she says, oh, well, nothing wrong with that. We start talking for an hour and a half. Turned out she got run over by a forklift in 2009, and she met Jesus. But she drifted away from him. And I was telling her how great it was and all this stuff. And I was like, wow. So I'm like, what? I didn't come to church, but I met somebody else and it was great.
Amen.
A couple of months later, I was still praying for my mom to please understand where I'm coming from. She calls me up. She says, you're not going to believe that this guy came to my house to fix my blinds. And he was from JCPenney. And he's writing out the receipt. And out of the blue, he says to my mom, my life changed when I got in a car accident. And she goes, what? And he goes, yeah. He says, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And he starts talking about how everything, she says, my jaw hit the ground. It's like I was talking to you. And it's like, what's going on? Right? 13:2, the Hebrews. 13:2, Hebrews. You never know if you might be hosting an angel. So this guy comes out of the blue and he says to my mom, you know what? I am not here by coincidence. There's a reason I'm here. I'm like, what's that? What's going on? A few months later, I decided I got to quit smoking. I asked Jesus, help me quit smoking. I said, go in the bathroom. I said, would you please help me quit smoking? The next day, I felt like I never smoked again. Like I'd never had a cigarette. I'd smoked for 20-something years.
Amen.
I'm sitting there playing with my dog. My mouth fills up with blood. I'm like, what's going on? I go, I spit out the blood. There's no more blood. Everything's gone. I'm rinsing my mouth. It's all water. All of a sudden, it came up. My blood pressure went down to normal. I stopped smoking. I don't know what happened. I have no clue what happened. But that was crazy. Was this related to him? I don't know. But this stuff didn't happen to me before. Never happened to me before. So I'm just going to say that on the way to my mom's on Saturday, I started. One time I was getting to this point, I was like, I'm sick of this, man, because first of all, there's isolation that comes with it. There's a little bit of persecution. You start getting taken away by your family's like pushing you away. I don't want this, you know, I want you to go back to where you were. Well, that's not going to happen. So I stopped, but I was getting a little tired. I started to give up. I was like, I'm just going to put you aside, God. I'm just going to put you aside. It's a lot of work. I don't want to do this. So I'm driving down the road. This is the period I was going through. I get stuck in traffic, okay? There's a car accident. It just happened. All these fire trucks and all this stuff. Everybody's going there. I'm like, oh, what's this? So I'm sitting there for an hour stuck in traffic on 295. Now they let us snake by. I snake by. There's a truck smashed into another truck, a tow truck. This guy's dead. There's blood all over the street. I'm like, wow, this is powerful. I felt terrible. I went home. I was like, oh, this is horrible. And then I started thinking, wait a minute, this guy, how many tow truck accidents are there? I mean, I had one, now this guy has one, and then I realized it's the 3-year anniversary of my car accident. It's the same day that I hit the back of the tow truck.
Wow.
And I'm like, I took that as, do you remember what I did for you?
Yeah.
You know, like, you don't have a choice. This is the route you're on now. And I just like, wow, that's unbelievable. And so, it's fun though. Last Saturday, I'm driving down to go see my mom. I'm almost done. And I'm leaving so much out.
Yeah.
So I'm driving all that supernatural stuff. I'm not leaving that out. So I'm driving down the road. It's a Saturday, last Saturday. And I'm talking to my daughter. And I'm always trying to impress upon her about God, God, God. So we're going on a story. And she says, well, I don't want to sit next to this guy. I said, well, maybe God put you there for a reason. Oh, she goes, I don't know. I said, yes, it's kind of like the tow truck thing with me. Maybe I was there for that lady. Maybe she needed to get reminded about God. And so maybe you need to bring a little God into this kid's life. And she said, oh, I don't know. I said, well, she said, well, what happened? Remind me what happened with that lady. So I told her the whole story about the forklift. She said, whole story, man, it was great. And she goes, what's a forklift? I'm like, out of the whole thing, that's what you got out of this. What's a forklift? So I said, God, I'm not kidding you. I said, God, there's going to be a forklift. And I looked over here, nothing. I looked to my left, there's a forklift on the side of the road. My daughter looks over, I go, there it is. She goes, oh my God! Goosebumps, the whole bit, we're laughing. God showed a way to get to her. And it related to her, it was awesome. And so that was a great story. And I'm just like, wow, God, this is fun. So on the way home, it was really boring. Aaron, I'm getting to you. It was really boring on the way home, and I'm like, nothing happening. Maybe that wasn't God. Maybe I'm an imagination. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm making this up in my head. And then I look out the sky, I look up, and there's a huge rainbow up in the sky. And I'm just like, I remember what Aaron said about the rainbow, and I'm like, and I started laughing, and it's like, he never lets you down, man. He's always there. He's always there. So that's it.
Amen.
Thank you.
Believe it or not, he has more stories as well. And I thought you were going to share one, if you don't mind. The one with your daughter, and she couldn't read the Bible, or the guy introduced the Bible to her at school.
Oh, she was going. Real quick. So my daughter and I were arguing one morning. Not really arguing much. But we were in a disagreement. So I always take her to school and say, I love you. She loves me. Give her a hug. Guess what? This day, nothing. We were talking to each other. And I know she's going to school, and I know there isn't God in school. So I dropped her off, and I'm saying to myself, God, please let there somehow, God, drop yourself into her life during the day. So she comes home from school. She says, Dad, I'm sitting in the library, me and my friends, and the kid comes up to us, and he says, it's Bible time. And you grab the Bible, and he starts reading from the Bible to my daughter at school.
Yes.
And I was like, really? Who is this? Well, I think he's a born again. I said, really?
Born again.
So I guess that's, I don't know.
Amen.
Just another story.
Yeah, he's gotten more. So quick, just a verse the Lord just gave me. Brad didn't know it. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And you're just beginning. Amen. There's a lot more for you. Sandra Berman, the Lord, you still do? Amen.
Something that the Lord shared with me. I actually had done a whole study on this, and all my notes are in Massachusetts. I have no notes to go on, and I didn't really prepare anything. But the essence was that God did lay something in my heart when I was reading the Bible one day, and I've read it through several times, and every time I read it through, things jump out at me. I feel like I'm not doing as much as I used to as I get old, and I need to get back to that. But this particular time that I was reading, he brought to mind that, like Pastor said last week, that things in the physical are always paralleled by things in the spiritual. And so when I was reading some of these clothing verses in the New Testament, they also exist in the Old Testament too, just put in a different way. He said, all of a sudden, he said to me, would you go out of your house with no clothes on? And I said, no, of course. Of course not. And so it started this long study that I did for months, looking up every verse in the Bible that had to do with clothing and putting things on spiritually. And it actually comes down to if you get dressed in the morning, you get up, you brush your teeth, you take a shower, you do all of these things to prepare for the day physically, what are you doing to prepare for the day spiritually? Mm-hmm. Are you getting up and are you brushing your teeth and taking a shower? And, you know, a spiritual shower, mm-hmm. and eating the food that you would eat for breakfast, but eating spiritual food.
Yeah.
And putting on your clothes and putting on your spiritual clothes. And in Colossians, there's a verse that says, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So those are the spiritual things that you need to actually put on every morning. Are you putting on the whole armor of God in the morning so that you can stand against the wiles of the devil? The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, shod with the, okay, help.
Ephesians 6.
Yeah.
Let me give it to you.
Like I said, I'm kind of doing this like off the cuff.
Here, you can read it.
Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Sorry. It's always the Holy Spirit. Mm. I can identify with you. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So, there's also other verses. They say, it says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And how do you put him on? Well, Jesus Christ, when he says, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, Jesus Christ is all those things. Mm-hmm. So everything that Jesus is what you should be clothing yourself with spiritually. And I must say that I don't do this every day, and I need to get back to it. And this helped me to want to get back to it.
Amen.
And that's all I have to say.
Oh, amen. Thank you, Sandra. Reminded me a couple things. Again, the Lord just gives me verses for that's just how I don't know why he just does it. But you're over there and reminded me of the Bereans in Acts chapter 17. And it says, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. And so Berean spirit, you're always going to the word. You're searching out the word, and that's in you. So just to something that she said, and it's a good principle, and I heard it from a man, and it's my life. It's what I do. Every day, before you meet with man, you meet with God. Amen. Putting on him. Every day I meet with God before I meet with man. Amen. I don't get up and first thing do this, I go to God, and it's just a good, healthy principle, as she was saying, and I've never heard it, but the word is excellent. You know, I'm not going to go out of the house without brushing my teeth and putting my clothes on, or I'm going to cause a big scene. And so in the spirit, I'm going to do the same thing. Before I go out, interact, and deal, I go to God and clothe with him, clothe with Christ. So that's excellent. Thank you. I would have never known you didn't prepare. So it was good. And Sharon. I'm up, Sharon.
I'm going to bring my elbow up. I've been sick a little bit, and I'm a little bit dizzy this morning, so I might need to grab him to hold on to as I walk my way through this, because I wasn't dizzy, but I took some medicine to try to alleviate the whatever. So I'm a little dizzy because I think it's moving. So don't mind me if I get a little, I'll just kind of step over here and he can brace me.
Do you need a seat?
Hmm?
You want to sit?
No, I'm good. Actually, it's better if I kind of move a little bit with it, because I'm like, it's like being on a boat. That's how I feel, so I'm kind of like following the wave a little. But here we go, because I'm doing it in spite of it, because if I stop because I don't feel right all the time, heck, I wouldn't probably do anything. So, Pastor Clay asked me to talk about my book. Most of you probably know about this. I wrote this earlier in the spring, My Value, My Worth, Finding Myself on the Way to Weight Loss. It's on Amazon. I wrote it at God's direction. After losing 100 pounds, I was frustrated. That was a three-year-long process. I was frustrated one day, and I said, God, what do you want me to do? He said, tell your story. So I did. It took me about 3 days to get it on paper and about 6 months to edit it and go through all that process to make it just right so I could put it on Amazon. I was thinking about what am I going to talk about? And almost immediately, what came to mind was a deep, very intense place. Interestingly enough, similarly to where Brad has been, this deep place that he went, I had some deep stuff happen in my life, and I'm going to start out this with Psalm 139. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Yeah. I spent years marinating in this scripture because I needed to know who I was. And I'm going to be vulnerable in a minute, just for a minute, and say when I was 7 years old, I was sexually molested. And it happened once. That was plenty, believe me. I was scared. I can't even describe to you how scared I was at that moment. I was seven. I mean, I look at my kids and I think, seven? 7 years old. It happened once. We moved away from that area. And then it was already compounded by some dad issues. My dad and I didn't get along, so I didn't tell anybody. I didn't tell anybody until I was probably 18, 19 years old, because they didn't talk about this kind of stuff back then. But in the middle of all of that, from age 7 to age 18, God saw me. God knew what was going on. Probably about 12 years old, I went to a Messianic Jewish school. They don't really exist. That was an oddity for the area that I grew up in. But these are Jewish people who believe in Jesus as the Messiah, and I got to participate in that. So one day we had a chapel service. You know, where you go and you worship. Yeah, a church service, basically. And they called people forward. I was 12, and I had all this stuff rolling around in my head. And I went forward, and I'm up at the front, and it was just, you know, it was like downstairs. It wasn't anything, it wasn't like up here. It was kind of a cold sanctuary, you know, kind of thing. I don't know why, but I went forward, and that's where I was standing, and I was just sobbing. And all I knew was I needed God, and I had all this stuff going on in my head, all of it. You know, I'm 12. So I'm just standing there, and the rabbi, pastor, his wife came up to me. She started praying over me, and she's praying in the spirit. You know, Acts 2, she's praying over me in the spirit. This wasn't unfamiliar to me. I grew up in a Pentecostal home, so this wasn't unusual for me at all to be aware of this, but to be prayed for like this was a bit of a different experience for me at that point in life. She came up to me, she prayed for me. The next thing you know, I am on the ground. She did not push me. I was overcome by what God was doing spiritually around me. And I was on the ground and she was still praying over me. She was praying over me. And I, to this day, I cannot remember. When I wrote the book, I tried to remember what it was that she prayed over me, but couldn't remember the words, but I could remember it had it all to do with my dad. She was praying comfort over me. Mm-hmm. She was praying just love, the love of God over me. She was doing all this stuff over me. And I'm on the ground, and I'm just sobbing. She was praying over me. And do you know, in that moment, it felt so good that somebody loved and somebody cared about me. And I didn't get caught up in, was it right? Was it God? It was just like, I was on the ground because that's where God wanted to love on me. Mm-hmm. He wanted to just make me know, make me intensely aware that I was his. Yeah. So fast forward, I'm 12, fast forward 19, I'm 19, 20 years old. Still having dad issues because, you know, go home and dad's still there. Still having dad issues that whole time. And I hadn't actually gained the weight yet. I didn't gain the weight until I moved out of the house and I started to really like live life and I wasn't really dealing with stuff. But as part of the story, God was peeling away all these layers. 19, 20 years old, I'm living in Florida. This Jewish congregation was in D.C. That's where I was raised. But we moved to Florida. So I'm in Florida and a friend of mine, and I had gone, you know, I just needed to get away from my dad. I was, in my mind, I was rebelling against anything he thought, you know, blah, he was doing everything. And I was raised in, you know, a Christian home and all that stuff. And I knew who God was. I knew who Jesus was, but I knew who my dad was. And, it wasn't clicking for me. So I rebelled. And I told God, I said, if this is who you are, I don't want any part of you. And so I'm very real with the way I talk to God about stuff. I just put it all out there. And 19, 20 years old, I was still in this place. Somebody tells me I'm a scrappy fighter with God, and I like that, because your word says, you know. And so I'm in this place. This friend of mine that I had worked with comes, we ran into each other. She says, hey, I know this church. You want to go to it with me? The last thing I wanted at that point in time was church. I don't want anything to do with God. I was just like, you know, you got to, whatever. 2 weeks later, she runs into me again. She says, you really got to come check this church out. All right, I'll go. So I went, like I said, 1920. Go to this church. It's a big church. She said, we got to get there early. You know, when I say big church, it was 2,000 people strong. So we got to get there early. We got to get in line because we got to get a seat. I'm thinking, this is wacky, whatever. But I'm still up for an adventure. Doesn't matter to me. I don't care how big or small church is. I want God. That's what I want. Now, I mean, can you see? At this point, now I want God. But got to that church. You know, we ran for the seats. It was crazy, but it was so good. As soon as I sat down, the choir, whatever they are, they were warming up and doing their thing. I sort of bawled. I was sobbing. I have no why. No idea why I was sobbing. Well, I didn't at that point. I know now. Sobbing. At the end of the service, whatever, the pastor, he says, if you want more God, come down here. You know what? I didn't care where God was. If this was how good I was going to feel, if I was going to feel this sense of release, I'll go wherever I got to go to get that. So I did. I went to the front. I don't know how I got from here to there. Don't know. But I got there and came over, laid hands on me again. Same kind of thing. Touched me. I was crushed like a can down on the floor. Still sobbing. I didn't stop sobbing. I was sobbing the whole time. I got up, made my way back to my friends, and they all looked at me and they knew. They knew that God had touched me. They knew God had done something. And I can tell you, I don't get all that God does, and honestly, at this point in my life, I just don't even care. I'm curious yet. I'll try to ask him, but, you know, God's ways are higher than ours. Never going to know why God does what he does, but I know one thing. Similarly to Brad, I know one thing. I've heard this said about myself a few times. Having that particular experience at that larger church, it wrecked me. Nice. It absolutely wrecked me. It messed me up. Yeah. And I am very rarely am I satisfied with what God does because I so much want more.
Yeah,
I want more. I want more. I want him. I want to do. Man, I know that there is something in me that God is stirring, and I'm fighting a few battles to get through there, but I got to tell you, that's what I want to tell you. I want more, because there is so much more that God has to offer us, and we've hardly even touched the surface of it.
Amen.
So much more. He said we would do more than he did. Well, I haven't gotten there yet. Heck, I saw people at this church get healed. But I haven't seen it through my own self, and I want to do that. I want to lay hands on sick and see them. Or heck, I'm over there laying hands on my ears and doing all this stuff because, you know, laying hands on my dog, anywhere I can do it, you know, if it comes to mind. But, you know, if you want to know more about my weight loss, I've got the books, and they're on Amazon. But really, I just needed to pull that little nugget out of the book because if it hadn't been for those moments when God wrecked me, I couldn't have lost the 100 pounds. I couldn't have done all the things. I wouldn't have this desire if he hadn't wrecked me. If he hadn't got a hold of me and said, there's more than your dad. There's more than your life. There's more than this. And can I say there's more? Can I tell you? There's more.
Amen.
I think I did.
Stay up.
Okay.
I do want to, hopefully you can play if you want. There's just, I was sitting over there, there's just an anointing on you for something, and the heart cry that she had, there's got to be more. There has to be more. And I want to take a few minutes before we go downstairs. We have plenty of time to eat and all that stuff. I'm just having to be obedient. If anyone responds, great. If no one does, then I did my part. If there's a stirring in you and you hear these stories and Lord, there has to be more, or maybe you've never experienced Him at all. Who is this? And you want to, I mean, just like Kevin said before, I'm not going to allow someone to dictate. I just want to meet you for the first time, Jesus. No matter what it is, I want to meet you for the first time, or Jesus, I've met you before, but I want you to put a fire within my heart. That there is more, a passion inside of me for you, God. One common denominator I've heard this morning is that, you know, life is not actually mundane. When you're walking with God, it's not a mundane thing. Each day is unique. Each day is something to pursue. Life takes on a brand new meaning. And if you've never had that, or if you've even had it at one point and you say, hey, you know what? I've steered off somewhere, somehow, some way, and I want to recapture that. If you want to be wrecked, I've had an encounter like that. The little boy absolutely wrecked my life. There's no changing me since then. And you've never had that. There's an anointing up here for that right now. And I want to make this altar available. I want you to stay to help pray if that happens. But I want to just make this available for a couple of minutes as a response to the heart of God.